The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The CSO celebrates 75 years in existence today. So that is what we're going to talk about first and foremost. When they first opened their doors, the population of the country was found to be 2.96 million. The average weekly wage for a man, €6.37, €3.56 for a woman. Some things will not surprise you in it. There were zero same-sex marriages in 1949, but this surprised me. In 1949, there were 437 prisoners in the Irish state, compared with 4,500 today. So a doubling in the population, but a tenfold increase in the prison population. Here to discuss all of the above and more, Rona McGreevy, Irish Times journalist, historian and author. Sarah Jane Tobin, content editor with Evoke. You're both very, very welcome.
Thanks a million
for joining us. What stood out to you, Ronan, when you were looking through some of this snapshot in time?
Well, was a couple of things. One of which is... When the CSO was set up in 1949, it was set up because the government didn't know some fundamental things about the state, as for instance the size of the economy, and they had these statistics had gone into abeyance as a result of the Second World War. But the best guess they could come up with in 1949 was that the national income, as it was called then, which is the total of all the goods and services, was £320 million, which is the equivalent of $15 billion nowadays. And I mean the state is, I mean the GDP of the state is something in the order of $500 billion now. Now leaving aside the old leprechaun economics, it's still a massively bigger country economically than it was. The other thing that struck me has been interesting was you were talking about the statistics there in terms of wages and so on. €6.23 a week was the equivalent of €231 a week. That's what the average man earned in 1949. The average woman, obviously women had much less participation in the workforce, was €131. Now it's over €900. So, I mean, in relative and actual terms, we're so much wealthier than we were in those days.
Sarah Jane, what stood out for you when you looked through these?
The marriage statistics I thought were brilliant. In 1949, 16,009 marriages, and the population was just shy of 3 million. Double the population, but there's only 20,500 marriages last year. And obviously then we've got the same-sex marriages as well. It just kind of, to me, like the shape of the family now is very, very different. I mean, obviously we have divorce now as well. And I think in the most recent statistics from the CSO for divorce, there was over 133,000 divorcees in Ireland, which obviously has only been in since 1996. So I just think it's really fascinating to see how the family unit has changed and how the perceived norm is not normal anymore.
Would somebody in 1949 recognise the status that exists today?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. I think
it'd be alien, completely alien world to
them. I mean, even like the statistics about the cars, for example, like in 1949, there was 15,000 cars on the road. Now there's 117,000 private cars on the road in Ireland. Like, I think even little things like that. And I do genuinely think, you know, obviously because we were so closely aligned with the church, the state was so closely aligned with the church back then. I think the whole marriage equality and I think the whole divorce thing and children out of wedlock and stuff like that, I think that would have been a very alien concept.
I was just going to say that fundamentally the big difference between then and now in population terms is in those days the big problem was people leaving the country, immigration. The 1950s, over 500,000 people left. Now we have the flip of that, whereby we have a huge amount of people where the stress seems to be around immigration rather than migration. That's a massive change in Ireland.
It's interesting. I only realised this today. The reason we count every 5 years, other European countries at the time were doing it every decade, but we counted every 5 years because of that, because we had such high numbers of people leaving the country. They felt that the numbers wouldn't stay accurate long enough in Ireland compared to elsewhere in Europe. So other countries would do it every decade. But when they got this up and running, they said, we better do this every 5 years because God knows how many people would have left.
I mean, we lost population in every single census from 1841 to 1971. I don't think there's any country in the entire world has that kind of a run in terms of losing population. And now what you have is a situation whereby, you know, the population is increasing very, very rapidly. And especially in a county like where I'm from, like Leitrim or Mayo and Galway, the the days of depopulation are over, and I think people have got so used to that that they don't actually realise that this is historically significant, that the population of all these counties are increasing, haven't gone down for centuries before that.
Well, one other aspect, I guess, that would be alien to people is the sheer number of different occupations that exist in the country now compared to then, and how few people now make their living from the land compared to 1949. I mean, the agri-food, they wouldn't have called it the agri-food industry. They would have just said farming, but the agri-food industry was the behemoth of the Irish economy.
And mining. It's
not anymore.
Mining was a big thing as well. Like, the Statistics Office released figures that show that in 1949, there were 153 industrial disputes involving 10,000 workers, costing 273,000 working days. But it was mostly in the mining industry. And I don't think, like, now they're saying there's 7 industrial disputes ongoing at the moment with 2,000 employees involved and losing 4,200 days or something like that.
Yeah,
so it's just like, it's so different. I don't know any miners.
There was big mines. Well, there's zinc mines.
Yeah. Well, nothing like then.
Yeah.
Nothing like then, though.
Yeah. I mean, when I was, Rigna, the coal mines was near me. That employed hundreds of people back in the 1940s. And I think down there in Kilkenny, Castlecomer
had coal mines.
Huge coal mines, up until
probably. And this is probably kind of the dwindling period of those mines, which is why you would have had so many industrial disputes. I'm always, there's that great line, I'll butcher it, from George Orwell, about Britain. What does the Britain of 1940 and the Britain of 1840, what do they have in common? Absolutely nothing. But it's like the photo of you as a 5-year-old on your mother's mantelpiece. What do you have in common with that person? Nothing, except we're the exact same person.
Yeah.
Do you know, there's kind of like, all of the things that's different, there's always a changelessness to all of this. There's things that are uniquely Irish,
that's
aren't
lovely,
there?
Kieran, that's really,
well,
you know,
I'm sorry, George Orwell said it, not me. And I've probably butchered it. I'm not sure if that's the exact quote either. But there's things, I guess, you know, that might resonate, that would be alien to us. But I mentioned the prison population, Ronan. That's kind of fascinating, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was a country that really, there was no serious crime in Ireland until the advent of the Troubles. And then some amount of bank robberies, murders, etc. started to rise. And obviously, there wasn't any illegal drugs either in Ireland in the 1940s. But once the prison population started really increasing in the 1970s and the 1980s with the heroin epidemic as well.
The crime figures, they certainly would explain that. And you talked about the industrial disputes as well. The other aspect of these that always strikes me, Sarah Jane, is, you know, this is kind of a human psychology point, maybe to a degree. We always convince ourselves we're kind of living at the end of history. You know, people in 75, people in 2099 are going to be looking back at us the way we look back at people.
I know, it's fascinating, really, isn't it? I think, like, I love getting a press release from the CSO. I have to say, like, I'm a bit of a nerd in that regard. I love looking at the numbers. I mean, obviously, sometimes they send us in stuff that's very, like, when you're on the news desk and you see 14,000 homeless people coming in from the CSO, that's awful. But then there's other days when working for Evoke and we get in things talking about babies' names. That's a really, you know, people, it just gives you a snapshot into time. And I think, I just think we kind of, it's nice to be reminded kind of where we came from as well.
Yeah. The baby names one, Ronan, obviously that gets probably the most amount of attention every year, compared to anything else that they measure. But this isn't just about kind of providing content for radio stations or allowing people to look back at 75 years. Like, government policy, when it comes to where are we going to build that school or where are we going to build these roads, all of that is based on the CSO gathers, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it goes back to what I said, the foundation of the CSO is accurate statistics are absolutely vital, as is the census for governments to plan ahead. Now, you can argue we don't plan ahead enough. For instance, the government was basing its 30,000 or 35,000 houses a year on a population that was less than 5 million. Now they're talking about 50 to 60,000 houses a year. And nobody knows where the population is going at this stage. I mean, there's some talk that it could be 6 million by 2030. So it's really important to have those statistics to hand so that you can actually plan for the future.
Do you have faith, Sarah Jane, that they are adequately planning for that future?
No comment. I don't know. Like, I genuinely don't know. I don't know how you can guesstimate properly, but I do think the CSO are providing the very best. I mean, like, Ronan said, government policy is based on a lot of these things as well. It's not just about the babies' names and things like that. It's vital what they're doing. And it's becoming more so, I think, as time goes on. And their scope of work is getting much, much, much bigger. Like everything down to roads and, as you said, farming and consumer price indexes and all sorts. It's huge.
And not just, I guess, state policy as well, Ronan. Like individual hospitals, for example, you know, if they're planning for the future and they decide how many geriatricians they need on staff. I mean, the answer is different if you're working in Beaumont Hospital compared to working in Our Lady of Lourdes, because they can look at the CSO and they can find out exactly how many elderly people are living in your community.
And the demand, for instance, for nursing homes, etc. And, you know, I mean, there's such a flux in the population now. I mean, the birth rate has gone down hugely in the last 20 years. So a lot of schools that were planning for, you know, having two classes for every primary school might only need one, you know. And so there's all of that as well. But Sarah, Jane and I were talking about the names, which I think is the most interesting. I mean, that is a snapshot in time. I'll just give you one statistic, right? Mary's. From 1964 to 1984, every single year, Mary was the most common name, and there was approximately 3,500 Marys every year. The last year I looked in the statistics now is 39 Marys were born in 2023.
We were talking about this. I said, yeah. So I think in the 1950s for girls, Fionnuala, Geraldine, Katrina, and Sinead. Now, okay, Katrina and Sinead, fair enough, but I don't think you'd see very many baby Fionnuala's. Or maybe Geraldine's around. With the boys, it was Liam, Sean and Barry. I think Liam and Sean are still quite up there, but Barry's, I don't imagine there'd be many Barry's around.
Barry's listening to this show up and down the country now. Bonnie baby Barry's bouncing on their knees.
I can't remember the last time. I mean, yeah, I know a couple of Barry's my own age group, but I don't remember ever meeting a child called Barry anymore.
No. Yeah, it is funny how names... you know, you can understand kind of fluctuation, but how a name like Mary, for example, can be just so popular for so long and almost overnight just nope.
And it's the same with all those kind of old traditional religious names. Bridget's another one that's gone by the by. Anne is another one that has just collapsed the number of Anne's. And then obviously the Patrick's, Michael's, John's, you name it. John used to be like, it was almost the Mary. And that, again, it's gone way, way down the charts now.
And isn't it funny, like, again, you talk about the religious influence, whereas apparently it was after Ross and Rachel's baby was named Emma, there was a spike in Emma's in the census the following year. And I heard last year that Anne climbed up because there was an Anne of Green Gables series on Netflix released. So, that's the type of thing. This is what the conversation, what am I talking about? All that changelessness and George Orwell. In 2099, that's what they'll be talking about. Can you imagine they had babies? Baby's called Emma.
Yeah,
and
imagine
stuff back
that.
Then. Imagine that. Yeah, exactly. And Jack. Jack was so popular every
Jack
year.
Jack is still popular now.
Yeah, but in 2099, it'll disappear. It'll be the Mary of 2024.
Yeah, you could be onto something.
Rona McGreevy, Irish Times journalist, historian and author. Sarah Jane Tobin, content editor at Vogue. Thank you both very much. We're past the eras of Kylie and Khaleesi. Khaleesi was from Game of Thrones, I think, wasn't it? So there was a few Khaleesis named in Ireland. You don't hear many Fonzies. Anymore, says Frank in Donegal. No. Yeah, you certainly don't. No. Fonzie Mealy in Auctioneer in Kilkenny. I can't think of another Fonzie. In and about the place, you certainly don't hear many of them. 087 1400 106, the number if you want to get in touch.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.